Hi everyone, I'm Heather, one of the Youth Services Librarians here at Cromaine, and today I am here with Eric, Grace, and Shelby for another edition of Staff Movie Club. And this time we decided to watch the cinematic triumph, Leprechaun. So good. So had you guys ever seen this movie before? If you had, what did you remember about it? If you did not, what were your thoughts going in?
I'll start. I had not seen
words cannot describe.
I had not seen this gem before. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of expecting it to be like, I don't know, like there's some horror out there that's like bad, like hokey, but it's still good, like good story or good, like enjoyable. So I was kind of expecting this to be like that.
Like, did it meet your expectations?
And you weren't disappointed, right?
You know, I don't think it did meet my expectations. I think it was pretty much just like bad. Like not good bad, but just bad.
I hadn't seen this movie before, and your thoughts hurt my feelings because
I'm so sorry.
I loved this movie when I was 13, and I still love it today. And maybe I love it today because I loved it when I was 13 and I knew what I was getting into, but it is everything I remembered it being and more.
I had never seen this one before, and just from looking at the cover, because I ordered a copy through TLN, looking at the copy of the DVD, first of all, it was a four pack of movies, so it was like Leprechaun 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I'm like, okay, here we go. So like quantity over quality. And then the image of like Jennifer Aniston, who's like 20 years old, and like the makeup, the hair, the whole everything, I was expecting it to be very campy and gory and silly and goofy. And I wouldn't say that I didn't expect this, but I didn't think about it until we got into the movie a little bit. It's very Rumpelstiltskin from like 1995. That's another movie. It used to be available on Canopy, I think, or somewhere through one of our online resources. But that's just another movie of like kooky little violent guy terrorizes town situation with like lots of gore and like just total goofiness. And that movie was only released a few years after this one. So the look of it, the effects, it's all very similar. So that's what I got from it. It was a trip.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be hilarious. I had never seen it anymore, but just looking at the cover, I was like, what is this? And I remember like sending it to you guys, like, is this the movie you were thinking of for this podcast? And I would say it met my expectation in that realm. And I went to lunch with Meg a couple weeks ago, who used to work with us. And she was telling me this is her favorite movie of like all time. And I know she likes really cheesy campy stuff too.
Wow.
So my expectations were high.
She has impeccable taste. This movie right. was really something.
Yep. Yes, I texted her immediately after finishing, like, what was this?
So there was something interesting about the production of this movie was that he had originally written it as a horror, but then there was like a disagreement between Mark Jones, the writer, director, and the studio over whether it should be like The Gremlins, like a PG-13 movie or an R, and it kind of like waffled back and forth even while they were filming it over what this movie was supposed to be. So that's why sometimes it's like really goofy and cartoony and campy, and sometimes it, I mean, I don't think it ever is scary, but it tries to be scary sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of interesting and fun.
It was scary how bad it was.
Yeah, I read somewhere too that Warwick Davis, who plays our leprechaun, also added a little bit of humor to the role as he was acting it out, and they were kind of like, actually, that's pretty solid. We should probably not make this terror filled because that's not gonna fly. We should add a little humor here and like let this go as it is.
And Warwick Davis and Jennifer Aniston apparently have like a 30-year feud because she became a Friends star like a year after this was released. And she kind of like has disowned the film and hates it. Yeah.
No.
And that really gets his blood boiling, Warwick Davis.
Really?
Because I'm pretty sure he's been in almost every, if not every one of these Leprechaun films, and there are like seven or eight. There was one released in 2018.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. They just keep going.
Yeah.
They do. And I think they actually, oh yeah. So in April 2022, Bloody Disgusting reported that Lionsgate was actively seeking out pitches for the next Leprechaun movie.
Oh my god.
I am going to apply.
Yep.
I mean, they've gone to space. They did Leprechaun in space, so like, what's next? I don't know.
Maybe the center of the earth.
There we go.
They're going to explore the hollow earth theory.
Yeah.
There you go.
That makes sense.
Or they'll find a time machine and maybe like go back in time.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
The options are endless when you just have a leprechaun and nothing else.
So true. So this might come as a complete shock to you guys, but the overwhelming review status majority, it was not great. It was a total, like, all the reviews basically were negative about this one. Rotten Tomato gave it, what did they give it? I think it was like a 25 or 27%. And the audience score was a 32%. And the audience score was based on 25,000 ratings.
Well, you can't ever trust Rotten Tomatoes. They don't know what they're talking about, so.
It's true. It's true.
It's all a matter of fine taste.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just don't have the refined palate that we do.
It's so true. Yeah, some great reviews. One reviewer described the characters as a group of morons who act like they flunked kindergarten. And Aniston's character was the Beverly Hills brat, which I agree.
Yeah, accurate.
Yeah, she was pretty unbearable for the first, for the movie.
For the movie, period.
Towards the end, first hour and a half or so. Like, oh no, I can handle this. It's fine. But in the beginning, she's just really unbearable.
I really, really agree with that. And I actually thought this one might be okay because Jennifer Aniston was in it. And I was like, you know, she's a good actress. No. Not in this one. She also didn't read as a believable teen to me. It was really funny that it was like her dad, like she was going on a trip with her dad and I was like, your dad.
Ma'am, that man is 5 years older than you. That is not your dad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I loved how she was like, I'm out of here. This house is dirty. Wait, there's a hot boy here. Never mind.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And even her dad is bringing her luggage out to the car. He's like, I'm tired of fighting with you about this. Let's go. She's like, no, we're staying. And he was just so confused.
I know. He's like, what is going on right now on this day?
Yeah.
And this was Jennifer Aniston's first movie.
Yeah. Oh, was it? I feel like that actually makes sense.
I know, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
She's a little bit theatrical with her acting. It gets, I feel like, especially in the beginning of the movie where she's got like the snooty teen vibe going on. Mm-hmm. You can really see how like she's kind of, you know, really over the top with it. But then as you go, it's like the over the topness of her acting kind of fits because they're chaotic scenarios that these people are in. But in the beginning, you can really see it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, which is very fun. It's delightful to watch and also unbearable because her character is really annoying. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I just realized we didn't do a synopsis again.
Oh, who cares? No one needs to know what this movie is about.
So I found like a really brief one. Let's see. So this one is on Rotten Tomatoes. Dan O'Grady steals 100 gold coins from a leprechaun while on vacation in Ireland. The leprechaun follows him home, but Dan locks the murderous midget in a crate held at bay by a four-leaf clover. 10 years later, J.D. Redding and his daughter, Tori, rent O'Grady's property for the summer. And then when their new neighbors accidentally release the leprechaun, he goes on a murderous rampage to reclaim his gold.
That is what happens in this motion picture.
Perfect summation.
I thought so too. It's just short and succinct, and really for like an hour and a half movie, that is what happened.
That four-leaf clover was in shockingly good condition for being like a dead plant for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very like, it reminded me of like the vampire with like the garlic, like that type of like this, yeah. But like this tiny little clover, like this will ward him off, surely. It's
funny you say that, because according to IMDb trivia, the director wanted that to become like canon, and he was really upset where apparently in the following movies that is not a thing. Like the clover being his garlic is not, does not carry over in the rest of the movies.
Maybe that was too easy, like.
Yeah, what was his, like, what weakened him in the next movies?
I don't remember. I know I've seen a few of them. Like, I definitely saw Leprechaun in Da Hood, but I don't remember what his Achilles heel is in the rest of the movies.
Mm.
Maybe you have to out-rap him, like, because he was kind of doing weird fairy tale rap battles during this movie even, so.
Fairy tale rap battles.
Oh my gosh, yes. There, so what did he do? I actually started writing down like the nursery rhymes. So he did Mary Had a Little Lamb to Lure Somebody. I feel like he did Twinkle Twinkle, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. There were just so many gems in this one. I wish I would have written down some of the things, but yeah. The fact that he was using rhymes and like rewriting them was fantastic.
Amazing.
Yes. At
the beginning, when like the first time we hear him singing like a nursery rhyme, mm-hmm. I think it's to O'Grady to like lure him in and make him think it's his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband turned to me and was like, if you ever hear a child singing a nursery rhyme, like, coming from a dark room in our house, just know that it's not me and you should just run away.
Yeah, I loved when he was like first luring the wife to the suitcase and she hears like a child's voice coming from a suitcase, and I don't remember what he was saying. He might have been singing or humming.
That's something. What it was, yeah.
But I was just like, no, don't open up that suitcase. Do you think your husband is like trafficking children back from Ireland or something? Why are you a child in your husband's suitcase?
Yes. Also, I loved the 90s limo that the husband drove in on, and he was just like smashed off his face. And of course, his wife was like super mad because they don't have luxuries for things like 90s limos.
I loved the Jameson product placement in that scene where he's literally chugging like the last half of a bottle of Jameson and just throws it and it just lands, and you see the Jameson bottle like the logo just rolling in the ground.
Yes.
This film is sponsored by Jameson.
Yes. Yes. And how they originally like get the leprechaun, as we kind of said, was like he pushes him in a box and then just puts the clover on top of the box. So I know it said like skin to skin contact, like, and the box wasn't his skin. So right away, I mean, I guess it would have kept him at bay, but like he could have just broken out of the side, right?
I was confused because like they set up before that he can kind of like apparate from room to room, like disappear and reappear, but once he's in the box, like I guess he can't do that.
They did kind of say that his powers are waning because he's not close enough to his gold or whatever. I don't know, that was there are some inconsistencies with his power and immunity to objects. I kept track of all the things that hurt him and didn't during the movie. Like, I can't figure out what his weakness really is, because bullets, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Blunt force, no, but sometimes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fire, I mean, the car lighter hurt him, and then at the end he explodes in the gasoline. I guess, spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
Clover's are permadeath, but his biggest weakness is dirty shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes. He just has to shine them.
And I don't remember, like, from Leprechaun lore, them being, like, super tidy with shoes. Like, is that part of Leprechaun lore, usually?
I think I read somewhere, and we could double-check this, because we're smart. But I think if you look into, like, where leprechauns came from or whatever, mm-hmm. that it refers to, like, shoemakers.
Yeah, I just pulled up a page, and
I think historically, yeah, it has something to do with shoemakers.
Yeah, his he was a solitary creature whose principal occupation is making and mending shoes, and he also enjoys playing practical jokes.
All right, sure.
Okay, that kind
of like setting up bear traps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
murder.
He did say at one point he was a shoemaker, but I didn't know if that was a leprechaun thing or a this leprechaun thing.
Yeah, maybe it is just a leprechaun thing, or maybe it was like his old school thing that he did. But I felt like he liked playing jokes as he like dismembered people too. So maybe he is a classic leprechaun.
He's like a very Freddy Krueger one-liner type of, like, I was rooting for the leprechaun the whole time.
Yes. Oh, same. Because, like, the characters were just terrible. And I felt particularly bad for the character Ozzy and how he was treated throughout the movie. Nobody believed him. And they were just, like, really awful to him. Like,
even the cops on the line, they were, like, just dismissing his need for help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the little, like, 8-year-old kid who was written like he was 40.
Right?
Was like, we're gonna fix your dumb brain with this gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, ooh, no.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad. Yeah. I also, while we're talking about characters, I have to say, so these brothers are supposed, they have a painting business,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they've got a truck that's like advertises their painting business. But they're the worst painters I've ever seen.
It's like, so when you look at
the truck, there's just like paint and like handprints all over it.
Mm.
And then they're painting the outside of the house, that they're doing such a bad job, and it's like dark red and dark blue, and it's terrible.
The blue looks like painter's tape.
I don't believe for a second that these guys are professional painters.
I agree.
I don't think they're licensed or insured.
Mm-hmm.
No. Why are you painting your house the color of painter's tape?
I don't know. I have a lot of questions about that as well. It's not a
look.
Though I will say, like, blue in general, sometimes they paint homes in New Orleans blue to keep away, like, bad spirits. So I don't know if that was even part of, like, why they made this choice, or if it was just the 90s and we were, like, really into primary colors. In the 90s. It
didn't work because that leprechaun had no problem.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, why did they rent this place out to them when it was, like, completely kind of destroyed, and they still had, like, painters in? Like, I didn't understand that either. Like, why were they going to this, like, random house that needed all this work done? Like, was the dad working on it? And, of course, like, the muscly guy is the first guy you see.
Mm-hmm.
But...
yeah. Just like a weird place to spend your summer. Like, does the dad have a job there? Are they going there to visit family? Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
That's never specified, right? Because I was confused for the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie. I was like, all right, it doesn't truly matter. But, like, why are we here?
Yeah, like, are you related to the O'Grady's or something? And you just got, like, this inheritance, so you're going to, like, check it out?
Yeah, did the dad buy the house and he was moving in there?
I don't know. But what I do know is Jennifer Aniston was very upset about not being in LA. That's what I know for sure.
She didn't even know what state she was in.
Right.
She's like, we're in New Mexico. And the dad's like, actually, it's North Dakota.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. It's not LA. I don't care.
She has no idea what day it is, what year it is, what's going on, or like where she is. She's just like, are we on the beach? No. Okay.
Yes.
What a vibe to just have no idea right. where you even are in the United States of America.
Yeah, right. And I like to, when Ozzy found the leprechaun, because of course he found it first, nobody believed him. He saw the rainbow appear, and they actually did find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, which I thought was really great.
Hilarious.
And then the little boy said terrible things about his brain. Oh, I wrote this part down too. When Tori or Jennifer Aniston was with like the hot dude doing some painting, and then she was like going to get paint out of the truck, and the leprechaun was like grabbing her leg, and she thought it was the hot guy.
Who she's known for like 1 hour.
Yeah.
And she thinks that he's under the truck, like stroking her ankle, and she just stands there like, this is solid. This is fine. This is great. And then you're after so a silly. Long time, she's like, oh, actually, no.
Yeah. She got a nice big leprechaun bite. I liked that.
I did. Her dad did. Yeah. I was a fan of her 90s kicks, though. Those sneakers were.
Everybody's shoes were the pretty pink cool.
socks. They were pretty sweet.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it really was a 90s vibe. Like, just this whole movie was a 90s vibe, which I really appreciated.
Oh my God, Jennifer's hair, like yes! the blown out bangs and like the big, like puffy blown out hair, and then the shorts.
Yeah.
And what were those shorts? Everywhere.
With all the patches. I would wear those, not yep. mine. Like, I thought they were pretty cool.
They were a vibe for sure.
Okay, so it looks like it moves on after that. To the leprechaun driving in his little leprechaun car, and he drives by a police officer who is like scolding him about being out late because he's obviously a child.
I loved the leprechaun's dedication to experiencing every mode of travel possible in this movie.
Yes.
He like rides a tricycle at supersonic speed. Mm-hmm. He drives two different cars because he has like the car that he steals from the toy store or whatever.
Yeah.
But then he also like puts a bunch of armor on it at one point. What else? Roller skates and a wheelchair, I yes. think. I don't know if I missed one. Did he ride a horse at some point? Because he should.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. And the pogo stick, like Grace.
Oh, the pogo stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he multitasked because he used it as a mode of transportation and a murder weapon.
Yep. And he said, as he bounced, this old lep, he played one. He played pogo on his lung. I was like crying. Look at this boy. I was like, what? Oh, he also did a stint with Ring Around the Rosie. While he was in the car doing a thing, his song choices were just like spot on. And I tried to like do some searching for like nursery rhymes and leprechaun, and all that was coming up was like story time songs. So I don't know if that's like, I'm gonna dig in, but I don't think that's like part of the lore, is him being musical. So I guess he just knows all the tea.
Yeah. And that was the scene where he put a bunch of armor on that little kid's like toy car thing that he was riding in, mm-hmm. and used it to flip the truck that they were all in.
And I felt bad for Ozzy too, because like, of course the police didn't come, but they finally came when Tori called, or they tried to come, or they were like on their way, but they called dispatch and it was the leprechaun.
Who has this? I just loved
all the places the leprechaun showed up, like in the hospital,
right?
Pretending to be the O'Grady guy who you find out isn't dead. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought he was dead the whole movie.
Same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we've mentioned this yet, but the leprechaun has this weird ability to mimic voices.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just of people he's killed, because he tends to do it with like some of his victims, like the wife in the very beginning, and then that scene where they're calling the police for dispatch and whatever, it's, you can hear the cop's voice, but then the camera pans over and it's the leprechaun with his voice. So anyways, he has this thing throughout the movie and he uses it a couple of times.
I don't think we even mentioned why the leprechaun was so mad and like on a murder spree. He was looking for his gold that O'Grady stole, And because he was after his gold, he kept saying, like, I want me gold, and like chasing people. And then like at the end of the rainbow, Ozzy, I can't remember the boy's name, but they found like the bag of gold. So they took one to an appraiser. He was the guy that got Pogo Stick to death and was told he shouldn't steal by the leprechaun. But then Ozzy swallowed one. So even when Jennifer Aniston like returned the bag of gold, the story wasn't over. Poor Ozzy.
I know, that was really unfortunate.
Yeah, he's
like slashing his face with the belt buckle at the end was
something. Was
pretty brutal. I appreciated the gore in this film.
It looked good. It was fun. I liked it too.
What did you think about the special effects when he was like going from A to B?
The aggressive zooming that they like the fast forward of his speed when he's like on the tricycle and stuff was incredible. Mm-hmm. I have a fun fact I could throw in here.
You should.
Okay, so Warwick Davis, our leprechaun, performed most of his own stunts. Mm-hmm. And for the scene where he chases Jennifer Aniston in the hospital in that wheelchair, Aniston had to run in slow motion so that Warwick Davis could keep up with her because he had a hard time getting the wheelchair to move fast enough.
Oh.
So now I kind of want to watch it again and look for that and like see how they they must have like tried to speed it up or something to like make it look like she's running at full speed.
What's funny is I was going to make fun of her in that scene because it looked like it was the first time she'd ever run in her life, and that's probably why.
Yeah, they were like, make it look like you're going really fast, but actually be like at a walking pace, okay?
Mm-hmm. I will say, while we're talking about the hospital, I felt like that part of the movie like shifted in tone from everything else in the movie for me. And like the creepy hospital like chase and the elevator, and like the scene in the elevator was like, I feel like the only like truly suspenseful part, or part where I actually had like a little bit of a jump scare.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I would watch this movie. It was, I don't know, it felt different than the rest of the movie. Yeah,
it almost reminded me of like the Halloween movies where they're always going to the mental institution, mm-hmm. you know?
I liked that part too. I'm looking at some of the like quotes from the movie and just reliving how cheesy it was. One is, ho, 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 I'm right here and I ain't no Santa Claus.
There are so many moments of Warwick Davis probably just making stuff up as he goes. And they were like, let's keep that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. Did you guys have any like favorite quotes too?
There's one that I don't have it written down or anything. I just mm-hmm. remember it from when I watched this movie. So first of all, okay, the hot guy's name in the movie, his name is Nathan, right?
Is it Nathan?
Am I totally wrong?
It's probably Nathan.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
I think it's Nathan.
Yeah.
Whatever, like the muscular buff dude in the movie. So first of all, my spouse watched this movie with me and turned to me after like 20 minutes and was like, this man reminds me of a mix between Tom Cruise and Jim Carrey, which I loved. But my favorite quote was in the beginning, he says something really crappy to Jennifer Aniston, something about like, yeah, well, girls are usually like scared of bugs or whatever and incapable of whatever he says. And she turns to him and she's like, okay, bub, it's the 1990s. Get with it was basically yes. what she was saying. That was my favorite moment.
Yes, I wrote that one down too, and the quote is, it's the 90s and girls are equal.
You tell him, Jennifer Aniston.
Yes, that was
I just loved almost everything the eight-year-old or however like the little kid, I don't even know his yeah. name.
I think his like, name is Alex.
Yeah, he's sitting there at the beginning, he's like, I need a beer, and I'm like, what?
You're later, six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need later, to go take a nap.
How do you own a painting company? I don't even think you can legally work at this age. Or there's a line where he's like, give me a 357 Magnum, I'll press it to the green critter's temple, and bam, the guy is gone, like with a capital dead. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, but also weird that you know your gun of choice at this age.
Right.
So we talked about how the four-leaf clover was like the thing that would stop him. It's like his kryptonite. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, there is a four-leaf clover patch growing on this property in North Dakota, and it glows. It's got like a green shimmer around it.
The so light,
you need to find a four-leaf clover in a hurry. You can just go pick one from the patch.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing when it shows the little like shining, like lit up clover patch. And then like everyone who goes near the patch, you can see that it's obviously just like a green strobe light because like they block the light. And then when they reach forward, the green light is like shining on their hands. And I was like, is this a joke?
Right.
This is a joke. Amazing.
It was so good. Just the green, like, special effects, too. It just really did it for me. And I don't know if it was this movie or another cheesy thing I was watching this weekend, but was there a time when maybe it was when the leprechaun was dying, when, like, they hit it with a four-leaf clover, like, it showed his skeleton, like, he was getting an x-ray.
Yeah. He melted, like, one of the guys in the Indiana Jones and the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Just like melting everywhere. It was gross and I loved it.
Yes, I loved it too. But yeah, patch was so convenient.
I wish they'd given Jennifer Aniston, like in my mind when I was watching this, like I really thought Jennifer Aniston was the one to use the slingshot and have the iconic line that they say when they kill the leprechaun. But they let the little kid do it. And I was like, no, this is Jennifer Aniston's movie. She should be the one to shoot him.
Yeah, agreed. But
like horror movie tropes, she was like the final girl, so you expect her to like
absolutely take down, but...
yeah. And Jennifer Aniston, here's a fun note, was included in the list of the 10 best slasher final girls from 1990 to 1999 by the famous Ronda magazine from Venezuela.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
I mean, I do have to say, like, with this script and this plot, like this absurdity, like she was selling it. Like I thought she gave like a fairly impressive performance for what this movie was.
I think she did a fine job. There wasn't, only in the beginning was I kind of like, oh boy, this is what we're working with, huh? But like as it goes, I think she did fine. It was good.
She did fine.
And you can, it's cool because you can kind of see the mannerisms and like the acting style that she has in her very first movie. You can kind of see how that's going to develop later. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And her other work. So it was cool to see.
So Shelby, a question for you.
Oh, no.
Did you or will you watch the subsequent three films on the DVD you took out of the library?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no.
Maybe I think I will have a palate cleanse time. Maybe on St. Patty's Day, I'll dig it out and watch a few more. I mean, why not?
Because I think I might have a leprathon.
A leprathon? Whoa.
Maybe you better.
Yeah, I will. I'll report back.
That sounds great.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys have a favorite part of this movie?
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, can we say start to finish? I don't know. There were so many parts that were fun.
Yeah, I would say the pogo stick or just the very end when he's melting. Or anytime he has his little fairy tale parody things while he's murdering people.
Yeah, I think I liked the opening scene because we knew exactly what we were going to get. And I was already laughing.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, good times.
I was going to tell you some fun stuff about the makeup effects.
Please
do. Because you gotta, when you have a leprechaun with like a full face of makeup on, it almost looks like a mask apart from the fact that it moves. It looks very masky, so it was cool looking, for what it was. So I found some stuff on the old Wikipedia, the wisest of resources.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy who applied the makeup to Warwick Davis was Gabe Bartalos. And so apparently applying the makeup took about 3 hours and taking it off took another 40 minutes. So Davis, our actor for the Leprechaun, described the experience as not a pleasant sensation. And then it says, to pass the time while the makeup was being applied, Davis and Bartalos had bizarre conversations and they got along very well, which is very cute.
I love that for them.
I know, it's very fun.
I read the same thing, but they never say what these bizarre conversations are. So I'm left wanting to know.
I desperately want to know. Let me in on your makeup party. I want to hear what you guys are talking about. Probably just weird stuff about leprechauns. I'm like, oh, what if we did all this, but like in space?
You can go anywhere. You can get sucked into a black hole. But like, how would the leprechaun chase them in space? I've got a lot of I guess I have to watch the one that's set in space.
You might have to.
Mm-hmm.
Would it take place in like the Clover Nebula, or would he not be able to go there?
Ooh.
Is that a thing? It sounds like it should be a thing.
Yeah. Well, and like, why was he able to get so close to the Clover Patch in like South Dakota or Nebraska or wherever they were? Why was he able to get so close to it and like get on Jennifer Aniston and like yank her away? I have a lot of questions.
A very good question.
They did questions have a hard time finding the four leaf clover. So I maybe he just didn't get near that one.
Maybe. So it really just is if it's like on him. And the slingshot totally made me think of Bart Simpson too. Mm-hmm. Which may or may not have been intentional, I don't know. But the time it was right, Simpsons were already on the air at that time.
For a couple of years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, another thing that I found as I was reading about this. So this was in theaters at the same time as A Few Good Men. And just the contrast between... Yeah. Those two pieces of film to me, like, I don't know, I found that very funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I think this movie stands alongside other movies very often in awkward ways, because somewhere about where it was filmed, like some of the more violent scenes apparently were filmed at Big Sky Ranch. Yep. Which is where Little House on the Prairie was shot. So it's just a very awkward contrast of like, we have Little House on the Prairie and then we have this tiny murderous leprechaun like doing crazy stuff on this farm.
What a mashup that would be.
Yeah.
When they came to like settle in America, the leprechaun stowed away.
Did you see like the leprechaun driving a Conestoga wagon or something like that?
Yeah. That's going to be the next leprechaun movie. You have there to pitch it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
And they're looking for ideas. So, I mean, I think they've got to go back in time. Like, yeah. That's the only place there's left to go.
Yeah. This movie was also shot on some of the same sets that Terminator 2 Judgment Day was shot.
Interesting.
And I read that there was a big problem with little kids buying tickets to see whatever the Muppet, I don't remember which Muppet movie was out at the same time as this, but they would buy tickets to the Muppet movie and then go see this instead because it was rated R.
It must have been like Muppets in Space.
I think it was Muppet Christmas Carol. This came out in January of 93. And so I think at Christmas time, it was Muppet Christmas Carol.
That's really
yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are you ready to rate things? Are we good? All right, awesome. On a scale, let's use the bloody finger scale again. It's been a minute since we've used it. On a scale of 1 to 5 bloody fingers, what would you rate the creep factor of this movie?
A single knuckle? The elevator scene was creepy when the guy like pops out of the ceiling of the elevator. That was creepy. And then the eyeball scene where the leprechaun takes someone's eyeball and jams it into his own eye socket. That was gross.
And he says an eye for an eye.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool, man.
I think I'd have to give it a 1 on the creep factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not scary at all. I think a 1 is a fair rating.
Yeah, I think I'd go with the eyeball too. Yeah.
I think the eyeball scene was the only moment of the movie where I was like, oh, that is, that's gross. That's, mm-hmm. ee. Then the rest was pretty just, you know, laughable and great.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the grossness score factor, would you stick with your half knuckle rating or 1 knuckle rating, or would you increase it?
For gore?
For gore.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe one finger. Give it another
one whole finger.
Knuckles or whatever. Yeah, to make one finger. It wasn't horrendous. I could get through it, and I'm a huge baby, so.
Yeah.
I feel like I would give it a 3 because it was all like practical effects and I was impressed with what they were able to do with a movie that seems like it was probably had a very low budget. And the sound effects also didn't help because there were all these like gross, squishy, wet sounds.
Squelching sounds, like, yeah.
Yeah, squelchy. That's the perfect way to describe the gross effects whenever he was like ripping someone's skin off or whatever. It was just a...
Yeah, can you do that again, but like closer to your mic? He slowly approaches the computer.
It's a good thing this isn't a visual medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with, I think a 3 on the gore factor is pretty fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking 3 too. I thought it did have like a good bit of gore that I would expect in a horror movie, but I can't go any higher than a 3 because it was just too funny and I shouldn't be laughing like when it's a gory movie.
Yeah, I think that my rating of a 1 was just for like how scared I was, you know what I mean? Oh, like yeah, it's not fair. Scary, mm-hmm. but it's good. It looks mm-hmm. really good and that makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you were transported back into the 90s on a scale of from 1 to 5?
If Jennifer Aniston weren't there, it would be a little tough. But a lot of the outfits.
And her portable phone, which was the size of like a phone book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the scene where she's like, oh, wait a second. My portable, she calls it a portable. And she goes over and like, boop, lifts the little antenna up. Amazing, that was great.
Another one that got me was when they're in the car and the leprechaun is approaching them and she pulls out the cigarette lighter.
Yes.
And burns him with it. And I was like, that's a 90s throwback.
For sure, for sure. Oh, and another great throwback is that the hospital security or whatever at that mm-hmm. care facility is just one sleeping guy.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, on a 90s scale, I think I would give this one a 5 just because, like, it wouldn't even be, I mean, even in the 80s, it would have been a little bit different. Like, the outfits mm-hmm. would have been different. There wouldn't have been a portable that she could call her friend and complain about her quote unquote hick father taking her out of LA for the summer.
Yeah, I would say also like on a personal level, I would give this a 5 just mm-hmm. because I watched this so many times in the 90s. Like my friends and I in high school would get together and watch this repeatedly, especially around St. Patrick's Day because we weren't old enough to do anything else. So,
right. Yes. So on an overall scale, what do you think you would rate it? Like, are you going to put it, if you had it and you're like, I always watch this pile, would you keep it there? Or if you've never had it in your, you know, pile of fun, would you add it to your pile of fun?
Sure. Why not?
I probably would not. I think once was enough. Yeah.
We used to watch this every St. Patrick's Day, and I think I'm going to revive that tradition. So I own it on Amazon Prime now, permanently, and I'm very pleased with my purchase.
It will be cherished forever.
Yes, I think this might go in like with Krampus, because now I think I'm going to put Krampus in my holiday rotation. I might put this one in my spring rotation, like if I'm having a bad day or something like that. I think overall I'd give it like a 2.5 or a 3. But you know what? My favorite movies are 2.5 and a 3. So there you go. And it's so funny because like with books, I like to read really heavy things, but with movies, I just like to turn my brain off. So This definitely allowed me to turn my brain off.
It's probably helpful if your brain is off the whole time to enjoy this film.
Yep. Yes. Would you recommend that others watch this?
I feel like it takes a specific kind of person to enjoy.
If you know what you're in for,
if you like campy horror and you're not expecting it to actually be scary,
I couldn't have said it better than that. Do you guys have any final thoughts?
It's a very fun, festive St. Patty's movie, so check it out. It's on our, you can get it through TLN. Get a copy for free. You don't have to buy it, and then enjoy it, and then throw it back to TLN for somebody else to enjoy.
I hope that Eric watches all the movies and lets us know how the others stack up.
I'll have a series of mini podcast episodes leading up to St. Patrick's Day.
Perfect. Yes, because we need to hear about your leprechaun. So
I hope you rank them.
All right. So that wraps up this month's podcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.